Men, do you really cherish your wife? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Some of you husbands are here, and you are married to a wife, and she is hurting so badly, and you don't even know it. You're so out of touch. You say you love her, but you don't know. She's dying inside. And as husbands, God says, you're to nourish her, you're to cherish her, and you're to take care of her like you take care of your own body. And the scripture says here that she is like a fruitful vine. That's what God says I want your wife to be. If you're walking with me, if I'm the center of your life, and if you're doing your homework and loving your wife, she's gonna be like that.
He can heal every scar.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today he's going to continue a message from his practical series, Family Matters. What does God say about the troubles families face? I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today. You know, I remember a dear friend of mine who has gone on to be with the Lord now, but his name was Aubrey. But he always signed off any correspondence or email or whatever with the phrase, love and laughter. Hey, as we begin this family series on From His Heart, that phrase surely echoes God's hope for your home, one filled with love and laughter, as well as safety, stability, and kindness. But too often, in some homes, it's not like that. For many, home is a place of turmoil, a place of physical, sexual, or drug alcohol abuse. Does that ring true for you or for many you know? Today, we're in part two of the lesson called Doing Your Homework, with the emphasis on home. We'll be reminded that God wants to bless your home and let it be a wonderful home. And we'll learn today exactly how to make that happen. If you missed part one from yesterday, go to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab. You can also download a free MP3 of any past broadcast or the sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff. First, though, open your Bible to Psalm 128 and let's begin. Here's Pastor Jeff now to hand out assignments for doing your homework.
God wants you to have a wonderful home. And in order to have a wonderful home, you have to do your homework. Now, in Psalm 128, we read about a happy home, a home where mom and dad did their homework. Let's look at it. Scripture says, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." There are three subjects in doing your homework if you want to have a happy home, a home where the blessings of God flow. Subject number one is the Lord. That's the primary subject. The most important subject in doing your homework is the Lord. It says in verse 1, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways." And then in verse 4, he sums it up again. He says, "Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Two times in four verses, he talks about the blessings of God. In verse 2, he talks about being happy. Now, the word blessed literally means, when you read it in Scripture about the blessings of God and blessed, 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 that word means to be happy. That's what God says. When He puts blessings upon us and pours out blessings, it's to make us happy. And He says, "Hey, you want to be happy in life?" I don't know anybody that wants to be unhappy in life. Everybody wants to be happy in life. God says, here's the way to do it. "Behold, everyone is happy. You're blessed if you fear the Lord." That's the avenue to happiness, is to fear God. Scripture talks about that in Proverbs. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That's the foundation stone for wisdom, knowledge, and happiness, is the fear of God. Now, what exactly is the fear of the Lord? I mean, if that's going to make me happy, then sign me up. I want to do it. But what is it? See, the fear of the Lord is not shaking in my boots. It's not being afraid of God. It's not cowering in fear. Oh, no. God doesn't want you to be afraid of Him. He wants you to fear Him. He wants you to stand in awe of Him. And the fear of the Lord says, I understand that God is the King, and I stand in awe of Him, and I give Him His rightful place. Subject number one is the Lord, and God is to be the center of your life. That's what the fear of the Lord is. You make God the center of your life. But not only is God to be the center of your life, God's Word is to be the guide of your life. He says, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways." walks in his ways. The scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, once you let the Lord sit in the control center of your life, then this book, which is God's word, begins to guide you. Subject number one is the Lord. You have to have him at the center of your life. Subject number two is your marriage. See, if you're going to have a good marriage, it takes work. And the husband has a job and the wife has a job. And the husband's job, he is commanded to love his wife. Ephesians 5:28 says, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. You're commanded in Ephesians to love your wife. You say, well, what am I supposed to do as a husband? I just tell my wife all the time, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Is that do it? Do I fulfill that command if I just tell her I love her? Well, you need to, as a husband, tell your wife you love her. She needs to hear that from you. But talk is cheap. You can tell someone you love them and you don't really love them. So many people tell God that they love him, but they don't really love him. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's not just, the scripture says, it's not just telling your wife you love her, it's showing your wife you love her. And the Lord says, you love her like you love your own body. Your own body. That's how you're to love your wife, to nourish her and cherish her. Some of you husbands are here and you are married to a wife and she is hurting so badly and you don't even know it. You're so out of touch. You say you love her, but you don't know. She's dying inside. And as husbands, God says, you're to nourish her. You're to cherish her. You're to love her like you'd love your own body. And you're to take care of her like you'd take care of your own body. And the scripture says here that she is like a fruitful vine. When you treat her right, she's like a fruitful vine. That's a beautiful picture. A vine that grows on a wall that climbs and spreads out and bears fruit. That's what God says I want your wife to be. That's what she should be. If you're walking with me, if I'm the center of your life, and if you're doing your homework and loving your wife, she's going to be like that. Gary Smalley said that a wife is like a vine, just as the scripture says, and the husband is the soil. And whatever the soil is like, that determines what the vine is going to be like. See, a vine is not going to grow if the soil has no nutrients in it. The vine is not going to grow if the soil is very acidic. The vine's not going to grow if you never water the soil. It just can't grow in that environment. Guys, how's your soil? What kind of a soil are you for your wife? See, your wife will either grow and glow or dry and die depending on the soil that you provide for her in the way that you love her. Big premium on the husband. Husband, love your wife. Howard Hendricks, that great Bible teacher from Dallas Theological Seminary, was doing a conference, and somebody came up to him at the break and said to him, and they said, Dr. Hendricks, he just says, I am married to the worst woman. Let me tell you all the things she does. And this husband just started to rag on this woman. She just doesn't do this right and this right and this right. And she's bad about this and this. It just went on and on. And Howard Hendricks said to him, he said, I am amazed. He said, what are you amazed about? He said, a person of your intelligence that you would marry a woman like that. He said, oh, well, she wasn't like that when I married her. He said, oh, well, then is it safe to say you made her that way? See, a husband who treats his wife like a thoroughbred won't end up with an old nag. That's so true. You laugh, but it's true. Husbands, love your wives. That's your job, your command from God. You're going to stand before God one day and give an account of how you loved your wife. You say, does my wife have a job? She does. The wife is commanded to respect her husband. You're commanded to love her. She's commanded to respect you. Maybe there's a wife in here who says, time out, Jeff. My husband, let me tell you a secret about my husband. He's not respectable. Oh, well, do tell. I mean, the scripture says, let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. It doesn't say, let the wife see to it that she respect her husband, provided he is respectable. Doesn't say that. It just says you're to respect him. He is supposed to love you even if you're not very lovable. He's commanded to do that. You're commanded to respect him. You know, a husband is like a flame, and a wife can either fan him up or she can blow him out. And the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is as rottenness in his bones. To shame him. Some women don't understand that they shame their husbands. Some women don't understand, well, my husband doesn't like to come home after work. He seems to work all the time. Let me tell you, one of the reasons some husbands do that is because at work they get a lot of respect. At work, they're Mr. So-and-so. At work, people just can't do enough for them. They come home and all they hear is, you didn't do this right, you don't do that right, you never spend any time with the kids. When are you going to take out the trash? When are you going to fix the garage? And that guy comes home and it's just a barrage of stuff, and he just thinks, boy, I liked it a whole lot better at the office, because he doesn't get any respect at home. She who shames him, the scripture says, is as rottenness in his bones. Debbie and I had a couple friend of ours, and they were having marriage problems. And I knew because he had shared with me some of the problems that they were having. And when we were with them in a group, they were in our Sunday school class some years ago, and I would listen to how she would talk about him in the group. She would say little disparaging comments about him, and she would guise it as a joke. But you could feel barb in there. You could feel how she was just cutting him down and cutting him down and cutting him down. She who shames him is as rottenness in his bones. No wonder they were having problems in their marriage. She wasn't building him up. See, if he looked at himself through her eyes, he was a loser. A husband can't deal with that. He's got to see himself through his wife's eyes as a winner, as a conqueror, as someone who can do. And wife, that's your job, to respect him and to build him up. Be very, very careful what you say to your kids about your husband. Be very, very careful what you say to your friends about your husband, what you say to mother about your husband. You build him up, don't tear him down. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Don't do that. Subject number one in doing your homework is the Lord. Subject number two in doing your homework is your marriage, and God wants it to be wonderful and sweet. And subject number three is your children. God says in verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. What a picture! Olive plants around your table. Now, if you're like me, you've never seen an olive plant. So I read that and I say, well, it sounds good. Children like olive plants, but Lord, it would have been nice if you said your children like roses. I've seen those. Those are beautiful. I don't know what an olive plant really looks like. I mean, a rose seems to capture the child more because we know they got thorns. And so they're there. But the Lord says, no, they're like an olive plant. Now, in the Jewish culture during Bible times, olive plants were so important. They used the olive oil. It was a symbol. The olive was a symbol of prosperity in Jewish culture. They used the olive for so many different things. They would use it for cooking. It was like butter to them. They used it for light. They would burn the olive oil in the lantern. They used it for medicinal purposes. They would rub olive oil in a wound. They used it for burial. They would anoint the body with olive oil. Olive oil was something of value. And God is trying to communicate to you and me, your children like olive plants around your table. Your children are so valuable. So valuable. And oftentimes we know that in here, but we don't know it in here. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. That's a reward. See, some people think that children are a penalty. No, they're a privilege. Some get the idea that children, I mean, they tie you down. Children are a burden. Nuh-uh. They're a blessing. Rich man says, well, you know, children, you have children. Children will make a rich man poor. Oh, no. Children make a poor man rich. See, I can't take any of my money to heaven, but I can take all three of my daughters to heaven. They are such a blessing from God. They're so valuable. And because they're so valuable, we need to spend time with them. They need that. See, kids spell love T-I-M-E, time. How much time do they get to spend with mom and dad? You can buy them all the gifts in the world, but they want your time. And when you see that your kids are valuable, you want to spend time with them. I have a friend of mine who's in the ministry. And his kids are older now, they're grown. And he said to me, we were talking one day, I had a boy and a girl. And I said, Dave, tell me about your relationship with your kids. And he said, great relationship with my son. He said, all the time growing up, he and I just clicked. And what he liked to do, I liked to do, and we'd just spend time together. He said, it wasn't that way with my daughter. He said, what she liked to do and I liked to do, they were worlds apart. And he said, it was difficult to get close to her. And he said, so I didn't do enough to get close to her. And he said, she had real problems. She became anorexic. And she had some security issues and some other problems. And he said, now she's in her 20s and she's not walking with God. She knows the Lord, but she's not walking with him. He said, it breaks my heart. And I said, Dave, what would you do differently? If you could go back and parent her all over again, what would you do differently? He said, I would enter into her world. I would spend time with her. I would force my way into her world and find out what she liked to do and what she thought was important and get into that world and get to know her better. He said, I wish I could go back and do that. He said, but I can't. And I thought of that, you know, some of us have kids that we just click with, and some of us, we don't. They're different. They like what we don't like, but you gotta force yourself to get into their world so that you spend time with them, so you build into their lives. And not only do you spend time with your kids as you see them as valuable, but this is so critical. Your kids need to see the joy of Jesus in the home and in your life. So very important. You want to have kids who love God, then you love God and you let your home be a place that's fun. We have a whole bunch of Christians in America today that don't have any fun in their Christian life. They talk about joy, but where is it? They sing songs, and this is how they sing them, lots of them. They'll sing, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. This is how they sing. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Here. Down in my heart. That's not joy. You might have indigestion, but I mean, it's not joy there. If you have joy down in your heart, it shows up on your face. I mean, joy, right? Shows up on your face. Your kids know if home is a fun place. Is home a fun place? I want my home to be a fun place. I want to have fun with my kids. I want them to see that Dad is fun. You know who the funnest person who ever walked the face of the earth was? Jesus. It's fun. The scripture says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He'd go out in the morning. He'd have people coming from everywhere, little kids standing in line just to sit in his lap. Why? Because he had the joy on his face. He was a fun guy. He was exciting to be around. God says, I want you to be a fun person. I want you to be a magnet of joy. I want my joy that it is in me, I want it to be in you, and it would radiate out of you. So your kids would have their friends say, come over to my house. My house is a fun place. And to play games with your kids. That's important, to play games with your kids. Have fun times with your kids. So many times we get so busy, especially as the kids get older, and I am guilty of this. You get so busy doing things that you miss out on the fun times and you miss out on family time, and you got to plan for that. Hey, we're going to have family time. We're going to have fun together. Play a game. A couple years ago, I bought Monopoly for our girls. We began to play Monopoly. Hey, Monopoly is not a game you play in 10 minutes. I love Monopoly. It's so fun. It's just a fun game. I always win. And it's just so fun to play Monopoly. And when my kids were, you know, a few years ago, they didn't understand Monopoly very well. And so I'd make trades. Hey, Sarah, I'll trade you Mediterranean for Boardwalk. She said, is that a good trade, Dad? I said, well, it's good for one of us. You know, but I mean, we'd make some trades. Now they figured out they don't do that anymore. They won't trade me like that. But we had fun playing. And you know what? See, your kids see God. Their perception and understanding of God comes primarily from Dad. Because God is the Father, right? So how they perceive Dad, if Dad's a stick in the mud, if Dad is the hammer, if Dad is always busy, too busy for them, that's how they perceive God. But if you'll sit down, play Monopoly with your kids and have fun and laugh and enter into their world, you know what that teaches them? God is a God I can get close to. God is a God who's interested in me. So very important, doing your homework, seeing the value of your children. I'll close with this story. Years ago, there was an atheist in a town, and this atheist was standing on a street corner as people passed by, and he was preaching to them about how ridiculous it was to believe in God, about how ridiculous it was to think that Jesus Christ could make a difference in a person's life, that Jesus never existed, and if he did exist, he was dead, he had been crucified, he was a criminal. And anyone who put faith and trust in Jesus Christ and thought that would make a difference, that person was only dreaming. Little girl listened to that man. She was 12 years old. That little girl, when that man got through, she said, "Mister," she said, "can I talk to you about my daddy?" He said, "Yes, darling, you can talk to me about your daddy." She said, "Mister, my daddy used to drink all the time. He'd stay out real, real late at night, and he'd always be drunk, and he'd beat my mother. He was so mean to my sisters and me. We didn't have any money for dresses and shoes and things because my dad took all his money and spent it at the bar." She said it was horrible in my house. But she said, "then my daddy gave his heart to Jesus Christ." She said, "I have a brand new daddy." She said, "my daddy doesn't drink anymore. My daddy comes home from work and he brings all his paycheck home, and now we have enough money for food and for dresses and for dolls. And my daddy is so sweet to my mother. My daddy's so sweet now to me and my sisters, and he plays with us." She said, "it's so wonderful." She looked up at him and she said, "Mister, if my daddy's dreaming, please don't wake him up. Please don't wake him up. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. For thus shall the family be blessed whose mom and dad do their homework."
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today's message called Doing Your Homework. And it reminds us that school is not over. And if you're in school now, just remember, school is actually never over. There will always be homework for you, particularly when it comes to family and marriage. If you place a high premium on love, joy, and peace, God wants that for your home. Today's message is from Pastor Jeff's six-message series called Family Matters. What does God say about the troubles families face? And it's available in multiple formats when you contact us at 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. And this month, our focus is on families, starting with a deeper understanding of the sexes. As we began this month, Pastor Jeff taught through a very popular six-message series called Understanding the Sexes, God's Blueprint for Men and Women. And God made men and women very different with roles and responsibilities. In this series, Pastor Jeff shares God's design for men and women. It's our special gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount this month to From His Heart. And with that gift, we'll not only send you Pastor Jeff's six-message series, Understanding the Sexes, but also the two-message set called Till Death Do Us Part, What God Says About Marriage and Family. To get yours, call 866-40-BIBLE or go online to fromhisheart.org. Your support is what allows us to be here each and every day with practical and biblical messages. So thank you for contributing to kingdom work when you give to From His Heart, of which Pastor Jeff is strictly a volunteer and receives no income from it. Be sure to let us know the call letters of this station when you do contact us. And thanks again for your prayers as well. We need them so much. Well, time is up for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you so very much for joining us. And we hope you'll find time to join us tomorrow and Friday for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff Shreve's series, Family Matters. What does God say about the troubles families face? The lesson for Thursday is called Marriages That Sizzle. That's next time, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that. Go to fromhisheart.org.